our lonely little Nettlelark stuck up here in the frozen tundra of western South Dakota. Do you hear what he says? And he says, I want to get out of here. I want to get out of here. Anyway, whatever. They're being dumb. Like I said, I think that car accident affected my brain. Okay, here we go. Run the newsreel audio, Mark. Newsreel news here. Here we go. New Jersey billboard promoters to celebrate reason, not the season. See, now, Christians are going to get upset at this thing. If they get upset at anything, anyway, they usually don't. They just kind of wassail through the holiday season. But anyway, the billboard near the Lincoln Tunnel in North Bergen, or North Bergen, New Jersey, depicts a silhouette of the three wise men approaching a manger alongside the words, you know it's a myth. This season, celebrate reason. Okay. Well, they paid $20,000 for that billboard. So, but you know, the thing that gets me about Christmas, you open up your Bible, and there's not a single truth in the Christmas holiday that is scriptural. Yes, Jesus was born. Yes, it's a good time to hand out tracts, I guess. Yes, he was a babe and all that stuff. Luke, you know, the first couple of chapters of Luke, there's the story. But if you read through that story and compare it to all of Christmas, it's not there. And I've got an ad in the South Dakota magazine. I guess I got rid of it here. No, yes, I did. And, you know, I knew I'd get rid of that thing too soon. It's an ad in the back of the South Dakota magazine, which is really a cool magazine, by the way, as far as talking about South Dakota. No, I can't find it here. And it talks about the season or something of the light. And all I can think of is Christmas is a time for the Christians, the so-called modern Christians who are caught up in their own beliefs and stuff that aren't rightly divided in their Bible. They're caught up and they're actually celebrating with the angel of light, not Christ. And like I said, when I talked to my school kids, I saw like 20, 30 kids that honestly believe in Santa Claus. I haven't been around that for years. I see Christians that still teach it, but they don't really... Well, maybe they do, I guess. I don't know. I just said to the kids, you really think there's a guy that's out there that's going to come down your chimney? Blah, blah. And these guys really do. Well, I did. But that was the old-fashioned days, you know. So anyway, so here's this billboard. You know, Christmas is not right. There's nothing scriptural about it. Not on December 25th. Not the nativity scene. There's not a single fact in that nativity scene that is scripturally correct. That's not the way a manger is. Those aren't the right people in the crowd. I mean, sure, it's Mary and Joseph. That's about all they got right. I don't know. It's just is amazing to me. Now we find ourselves sticking up for Christmas because if we don't have Christmas, we have Ramadan or something. Well, I don't still stick up for Christmas, yet I got to give a Christmas program in the schools here in a couple of weeks. Well, we're not doing anything that's going to support the Santa Claus thing, but still, what do we do? This is tough stuff to make your stand today. With grace and with mercy towards other people, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But you know that when people are tired of the goodness of God, Romans 12:22, then God's going to take care of the Gentiles are done. And it has to be getting to that point. It has to be coming soon. Nobody wants to hear this Paul stuff. Nobody wants to hear somebody say, well, if you take the scriptures and you look at them in truth story-wise, anything in Christmas is not true. In the Christmas story out there, the way the whole thing is run, even the Christian element of Christmas is not true. Make it a holiday, whatever. You got a fat guy that gives out presents, fine. Most dads are the fat guys, so whatever. Who cares about that stuff? I love the food and the donuts and the tea rings and all that stuff. I like the colors and all that stuff. But I look at all this stuff, it's just getting out of hand. The lights, and they represent some Christian baloney, and they don't. So here's these atheists telling people to celebrate reason. Well, how about putting up a sign, I suppose, that says, you know it's not true. This season, celebrate the scriptures or something. I don't know. Christ was born, no doubt about it. And personally, for what it's worth, I say this all the time, just to make you think. I think Christ was born around Halloween, and Halloween takes Christ's birthday and has his party with all the Halloweenies out there. And then on the time that Christ, when the time that Satan did his thing, it's his solstice stuff, and all that worship stuff is his day. So he's getting all the worship during Christmas time, and he gets all the worship during Christ's real birthday time. We're never told to celebrate his birthday. I hate the phrase "Happy Birthday, Jesus." It just burns me. Something's just fleshly wrong about that thing. So anyway, there they are. The modern Christian will get upset at that because they're toying with their holiday season of holy days, and God just doesn't care. He doesn't stop it. He lets everybody store it up. And anyway, so tonight, let's look at part two of On the Hill, not Over the Hill. Too many of us are that way. I ran into the hill the other day. That didn't do any good for me. But we're talking about those people on Mars Hill, those that have their belief is superstitious. They know nothing about their God. It's an unknown God. And that's because they don't rightly divide their scriptures. That's because they don't even have a King James Bible. And those that have a King James Bible have turned it into a lie because they're teaching the gospel out of that thing incorrectly. So this morning we just read through some of the scriptural the scriptures that describes this modern Christian today that is believing in this false gospel, following Jesus' teachings out of the gospels, following the teachings of Peter and James and John and Jude in the tribulation part of the books. Why else would they be at the back part of the Bible? I've said it 1,000 times, the Bible is not in chronological order, but it is in dispensational order. And I believe and preach without any shadow of a doubt that 1 Corinthians 13:10 is the King James Bible. When that thing came around, all this hoopla and the knowledge from God coming out of the blue and in your heart and preachers getting stuff out of the blue and all that stuff is shut down. It's done. So we can turn to this Bible and we can identify. We can be talking to somebody who's a modern Christian, caught up in these churches, and out here they're everywhere. The conservative Christian out here, we already know all about them. We know more about them than they know about themselves. Well, how can we say that? Because have we been around them? We've been around them. But listen, get into this Bible, and this Bible will identify them. Does this Bible not identify us? Doesn't Paul's teachings remind us that we can't do the right thing all the time? Our flesh is still full of sin. Christ has taken care of our soul. Our flesh is still full of sin, and if something goes wrong in life, it isn't us that's doing it anymore. It's the sin that's in our flesh. As far as I can tell, we're already up with Christ in heaven because of our soul has been separated from the flesh. And as soon as the Holy Spirit's gone, this flesh will drop like a rock. And I don't know. That's getting off the subject though. So we're looking at the scriptural comments about those that are at Mars Hill. And now tonight we're going to look at the results. What will result from following this kind of so-called Christianity? But you know, I missed a couple of things this morning, so I got to make sure to bring them up tonight. Let's go to 1 Timothy 5. I missed one that I wanted to get in. 1 Timothy 5, as far as what the Bible says about the modern Christians as such, and this modern religion, godliness, form of godliness, that type of thing. 1 Timothy 5. First Timothy 5, verse 11, says here that younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation. Is their soul damned? No, they can't lose their salvation or that sort of thing. We know that. So it has to be the damnation. It's got to be a destroyed life. They cast off their first faith. Their life goes to flits. Unfortunately, as we're finding out, this life that goes to flits is a lot of fun for them. They enjoy it. They got careers, they're working, they're making money, they get to meet all these different guys at work, and they get to flirt with all these people, and they're liked better by their husband or by their dad. They are learning the ways of the world, and when it comes time to maybe make a change in one's life when they get older, boom, they're not going to want to. That's exactly what this thing is saying here. cast off their first faith. They toss it. And withal, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house. Well, let's put them in a career then. No, that's not what he's saying here. They go from house to house. What is Facebook? Facebook is house to house. Idle women. Nothing to do. Sit there and yak about when they're going to take their shower, what movies they're watching, what face lotion they support. You name it. It's just the dumbest stuff. House to house. And not only idle, but tattlers also. And busybodies. What is it your business about other people? And we want to find out about it. I'm curious. That can be a problem. It's a serious thing. Speaking things which they ought not. I tell you, Facebook is 1 Timothy chapter 5 to the max. I will, therefore, that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully, meaning that if you get this career stuff, you're giving the adversary an occasion to reproach you. Your enemy's in town. The whole thing you're trying to witness to. But there's one serious question to ask him. Then verse 15 says, for some are already turned aside after Satan. So, getting away from the book, whether it's a dad making you do it, or a woman, or a father, or a husband, or whatever, it's tough stuff. And yet, what do you do in this day and age when you've got a husband that can't work? You've got a life situation where you have to work. You're forced into that situation, not by choice. Life is life. Life stinks. Life is like I heard somebody say, this world is a popsicle. Just one of these days. I said that a couple of times. I like that thing. And then it says, I will therefore that the younger women marry. Marry who? Where are these Paul guys? What are we going to do? Bear children? Okay, put them in public school because you can't homeschool them anymore. Guide the house? That's pretty tough. Give none occasion to the adversary. This is tough stuff. If you want to be a Paul-following woman, you need to have the support of a father and a good man. And neither one are available these days. Sports? You get involved in sports programs as a young girl. They teach, I could just rattle off about this thing, something fierce. Anyway, that's a description of what's going on today. And you go back through those notes, which I will have the notes up there for tonight, handwritten, kind of crummy looking things, but they are, I forgot to turn this whole thing on here. Okay, so now we're just catching up on the video thing. So Mark, I'm going to have to borrow the first part of that thing here. Bird, yep, got to get the bird going. Thank you, Brian. There's our bird for the website people. And from this point on, the sound will change because I'll be mixing the audio into this video thing. But anyway, for those video people out there, go back and listen to the audio because you missed my introduction. We went over 1 Timothy chapter 5, talking about women being idle and wandering from house to house, not only idle, but tattlers also, busybodies, speaking things that they ought not. Wives wanton against Christ. They get married when they ought not to. They turn aside after Satan. They're working out in the world. Tough stuff. And where are the men at to marry these women and do the right thing? Where's the fathers at to bring their daughters up properly? The world won't even let you. Then, we're going to talk tonight about the results of this Christianity that we have out there, this this wrongly divided Christianity here. Now, the other scriptural comments, I won't go through the verses, it'd be a sermon in itself, but remember that what's going on here, people are being flattered. Paul does not preach flattery. Paul does not preach with flattery. He does not. He's got plainness of speech. He says it like it is. He's not screaming in your face like the goombas and the morons on the street corners that are preaching the false gospel as loud as they possibly can, looking horrible. These people are being flattered by fair speeches, good words, Romans 16:18. They're being flattered by vain words of men, 1 Timothy 1:6, 2 Timothy 2:16, Colossians 2:8, 1 Timothy 6:20, Ephesians 5:6, Romans 1:21. It's a mess. Vain talkers in Titus chapter 1. And it's a mess. But they're happy, supposedly. And for some reason, the Paul-rank people are going back either to this false teaching gospel stuff, or they're getting caught up in the mid-act stuff, which is still the Paul stuff not being preached totally. We'll get to that later. Let's look at some results. A lot of this, I'll admit, is based on my observation. It's based on what the scriptures say and the fact that I've seen those sorts of things here. hope this thing is all going right here. Looks like it should be. Okay. Well, here we go. Here are some results. This is what's going to come out of this stuff for these people. First of all, they miss out on Paul. And they really miss out on the risen Savior. Because the risen Savior, in all these different verses, has gone to Paul and told Paul what to go to the Gentiles. Okay, so here's this information from Paul, from the risen Savior. And that's okay. That's fantastic. But you know, I have learned to really enjoy knowing the person of Paul. You go through his history in Acts, this guy's been through it. The shipwreck stuff, all the stories, all the people that challenged him, and his message was a message that they wanted to hear about the resurrection for the dead, but they didn't believe it when they heard it, kind of a thing. You know, people ask you a question, they really don't want to know the answer, that kind of stuff. So they're missing out on Paul. And they get caught up with John and Peter and James and all these guys. And these guys are talking to Jews. So, you know, fine, whatever. But Paul's the one that's talking to you. And they missed out on who he really is. I wonder who they really think he is. If they follow the 12 apostles kind of a thing and they kind of ignore Paul. Who do they think this guy is anyway? And by missing out on Paul, you miss out on the opportunity to make changes in your life. Because this modern Christianity doesn't ask for any changes in your life. You can keep on wearing what you want to wear. You can keep on TV. You can keep on the videos. You can keep on partying. There's nothing to change. Because it goes on at the church as well. You want to get involved in sports? Hey, get on the girls' team down at the church. You know, I mean, come on. There's no difference between them and the world. Now, those comments right there actually go along with what we're going to talk about Wednesday or Sunday, if I know you're all going to be there, probably Sunday, is what is magnificent about this. We're supposed to despise this Christianity, this modern Christianity. We're supposed to destroy the magnificence of it. We'll talk later. What is so magnificent about it? Oh, there's a lot of stuff that's magnificent about it. We need to destroy that stuff. How do you destroy something that's magnificent if you think it's magnificent? You don't get this stuff with Paul. But what we get with Paul is beyond magnificent. Anyway, so more results. Well, they miss out on their Bible. Because they're right to divide this Bible. We'll eliminate all confusion, all contradictions, all questions. Because suddenly the Bible makes sense. I've heard so many people tell me, man, this thing suddenly makes sense. Then they say, I got to go tell my pastor. He needs to know about this. Boom. We'll never hear from him again. It's happened so many times, you know. But they'll miss what the Scripture describes. They'll miss the warnings from God. They'll miss the things to take heed. They'll miss the spiritual blessings that the real Savior has to offer. Here's something else that'll be the results of the modern Christian. There's no order in their home. Everybody may seem happy, but they're happy in their own way. Girls are doing guy things. Guys are doing girl things. Woman is working, second income. Just watch them. Just go to their house and watch what they're doing. They got pictures of their teenage daughters up on the walls. That is very immodest. The father is just doing his part, and the woman's doing her part. Chances are she's running the ship anyway, because the father's a doofus when it comes to Bible stuff, which is, we're busy working, I know, but that's still a lousy excuse. But now look at the music that's in the home. They're just having a great, it's just worldly as all get out. There's no design within the home. What do you mean design? Paul tells us what the father should be, what the man should be. Paul tells us what the woman should be and should be doing, and it talks about the children. It talks about how we raise our, should be raising our daughters. How we raising our sons. What to be teaching. They miss all that stuff. Your kids will be as worldly as world can be. Look at the groups they bring into the teen clubs, into these things. And listen, I'm talking out here in conservative Midwest. The grateful bread they had for Thanksgiving at the local ecumenical church services in town here this past weekend. The grateful bread. Does that tell who are we copying there? Who are we glorifying? Well, the Grateful Dead. You know, and they're okay with that. They don't even probably recognize it. It's like the
like the conservative Christians are really kind of dumb to the world, too. They're kind of dense to the whole thing. I think they believe, as we see in the scriptures, that God's just going to take care of them. So they kind of put their blinders on and float around and watch the God of this world take care of them. That's the result of this whole modern Christianity stuff. Children are deceived. How can children be deceived? Passed on down from mom and dad. Go to the school, have their WANA program, and memorize their scriptures while the guy next to him was memorizing NIV. And he got all these lousy, rotten kids coming to WANA, so you don't want to spoil the good kids. So you don't want to hurt the bad kids that are coming. So you let the bad kids rub off on the good kids, and you lose the good kids because you had to be a ministry to the lost world out there. Been there. Or your children aren't deceived. They see the folly of it all. They're not stupid. They know that you prayed for this and that nothing happened. They know that you prayed for your food that night and everybody got sick because mom threw something in there that she shouldn't have. They see the fact that dad had a car accident and they prayed for him before he went to work that morning. The kids see this stuff. Sound is okay, right? I'm getting no comments there, so I'm just checking on my sound here. Kids see the folly of this stuff. And sad to say, they don't go to Paul, they go to the world. Want me to give you some names? I'll list the names for you if you want. I know where these kids are going. Or they go up and become pastors and they carry on the tradition of deceit. They get into better numbers because they're younger. And they know how to use the music better. And the old dads, they don't know what they're talking about. So let's just bring in a new kid from the college. Bible Institute crowd. The boys, the preacher boys. Okay, what else we got out of this group? This group comes up with a tremendous amount of pride and conceit. They actually think that they're walking good enough that God blesses them physically. I look at it this way. They think they're blessed or they have to confess. Bless or confess. If they miss up once in a while, then they can confess it and God will still bless them. That's very prideful. Paul says himself that he hates his wretched body. Sin is still in me. And the stuff I should do, I don't want to do, but I can't memorize that thing for another chocolate thing like we did years ago. They're very prideful people. They think they don't lie. They're honest. Come on. Bible says all men are liars. Bible says there is still sin in our flesh. And we still make the choice. Paul tells us that Christ took care of that sin. He didn't just ignore it. No, he paid for it. Not only did he pay for it, he cut our souls away from it. So if we do something right now that's wrong, all things are lawful. We don't do anything that's wrong. But it will be wrong at the judgment seat, and it will burn up in the judgment seat. Sin's been taken care of. Romans chapter 6. To stop sinning? That's not the issue. We ought to. But he knows we're not going to. His people didn't. We're not going to. I'll say it again. In the tribulation, he puts the Spirit of God upon their flesh, Acts chapter 2, because he knows they can't do it either. But now they're going to have to do it, and he gives them himself to help them get off of that stuff. So what we got to tell you, we got people today that actually think they're following in Jesus' footsteps. They actually think that. Why do they think such a thing? Well, because their Bible tells them to imitate Christ. But we've got Bible guys, King James guys, that think they still need to follow Jesus' teachings in the Gospels. In other words, when Jesus was following the law, then we must also do the same thing and we'll be blessed. Because now we know how to walk his walk. Oh, we do? Paul fought the thing all the time. So what do we come up with? We come up with imitation. Let's go to Isaiah 14, so I'm not just yakking my own opinion. Let's go to Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14. See, here's another problem. You can't sit down to these people and tell them, get out their Bible and see what God says. They don't look at it that way. Well, I've seen the Bible. All this Bible is all to us, and we should do all the things that are in this Bible. I should believe this stuff as it is. Come on, you can't do all this stuff. You can't be a peacemaker, Matthew chapter 5, and be a child of God. Now, if we had to have a peacemaker to be a child of God, I've got about 10 guns that would make me a tenfold Christian. Those are my peacemakers. But that's not what we're talking about here. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 13. For thou hast said in thine heart, Lucifer, the devil, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And his job is to get people to worship him, to help him be like the Most High, and to sit upon the mount of the congregation. That's what he thinks he's going to do. And when it comes down to the tribulation, he's going to be reigning for a while. In the meantime, we're being prepared for that whole thing. So these people are being taught to imitate, because devil wants imitations. There's only one Bible that does not tell people to imitate Christ. That's the King James Bible. And imitate Paul? I don't want to imitate Paul. We're to follow Paul. It's only one Bible, King James Bible. Imitate your pastor? Come on. They are. What he does, they can do. Well, I saw the pastor do that, so I guess I can. Anyway, imitation everything. We got imitation churches. They've got imitation Bibles. They've got an imitation spirit that they think they're listening to. They've got imitation truth. It really isn't truth, but they call it truth, which really produces an imitation salvation, which produces an imitation walk, not based on Paul's teachings. You've got an imitation family who think they're being a family, but nobody operates like a family. Nobody does their role as a family. Yeah, right, Mark. You guys get out there, get in your car, fall asleep on the highway, and drive your car into a ditch and see if you can do a Southwest Airlines fly and then do a Russian spacecraft landing nosedive first. Go ahead, imitate me. Go right ahead. Funny comment. Anyway, thank you, Mark. Imitation families. They don't even know how to be a family. We've all lost this stuff. They got holidays, holy days. They have an imitation holiness. They think this holiday is a holy time. You've got people that, you've got imitation pastors, they're hirelings. We've got, really, bottom line, they have an imitation savior, S-A-V-I-O-R. Isn't that the real one? You've got imitation miracles. They're not miracles. The devil's doing that stuff. They're not real. They're signs and wonders. They're all imitation. The devil can do stuff like that. Sure he can. The Bible tells us that. 2 Thessalonians and Revelation, I think it's Revelation 16, 14. All imitation. Let's go to Timothy here. What do we have? What are the results of this religion that we're supposed to despise? According to Acts 19, we're supposed to destroy the magnificence of. And yet most of the Paul people are going back to it. Let's go here to Timothy here. Let's go to... I think it's 1 Timothy, but I'm always wrong here. You just find it here. 1 Timothy chapter 3, not 2 Timothy chapter 3. It says, they shall proceed no further, verse 9, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men. And we have people finding out that this Christianity is a vain, worthless, no God there folly. Where is God at when I had this problem? You know, people said they'll pray for me because after the accident. Well, didn't anybody pray for me before the accident? So if God's going to take care of me when I had the accident, why didn't he keep me from falling asleep? Why didn't he keep me from hitting that approach? Did he make the airbags come out? No, this is life. This is what happens. And the kids see that, and they go, that's just a bunch of baloney. It's just religion. It's a false way. It's a false gospel. I thank God I came out of that thing without any injury. I really do. Because we give God thanks and everything. So I do. But to think that maybe nobody prayed for me that day, myself included, so that's why that happened. It's silly. The devil has a desire to deceive. And he's deceiving people through this modern religion today, these churches in America, the Great Commission. They're even the King James guys are getting tweaked by this whole stuff. And it's folly. It's vanity. Paul warns in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 about another Jesus receiving another spirit and believing another gospel. Not quite how it says. Let's check it out here. He says, preaches another Jesus. See, these guys are preaching the Jesus of the Gospels. Is he another Jesus? Well, it's the same one. But what he's teaching, you're teaching another Jesus' teachings. Those aren't teachings to us. They're to the Jews. So in effect, he's really teaching another Jesus. Then you get the other guys that are teaching, you know, they're little gods and everything. But it says here, you receive another spirit. That's the spirit of Antichrist. You receive that. And here's a bunny trail thought. Most of the people I have trouble with when I was a pastor were people that had been in the NIV, had been in false religion, had been in some modern Christianity stuff. It's like for them to fight that spirit that they received makes them angry, makes them mad, makes them not here. They can't deal with it. And one of the things Paul gets us to do in Acts chapter 22, I'm just winging this thing here, in Acts chapter 26, I think it is, he says to change from the power of Satan, how's it go here, Acts 26, there we go, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. The only way that you can turn away from that power of Satan is to get into Paul's stuff and change your life. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. You're going to be deceived into this modern religion, and these are the results of it. So those people that gave me a hard time, if you ever listen to this thing, I still wonder if you don't have the spirit of Antichrist giving you a hard time, and you haven't given into Paul's teachings yet. And those of you that are around there, I check my list here, that may be exactly what's going on back there. The spirit of Antichrist never got out of those people. Never made any changes in their life. Now they're going back like everybody. Everybody's going back. We'll talk about that in a minute. Okay, now here's the final big result. These people end up in hell. They end up in the lake of fire. Because you can't have the real thing if you have the fake imitation. Is the King James Bible the gospel of your salvation? Well, sure it is. It has to be rightly divided, of course. Is other Bibles the gospel of their salvation? No. It can't be. That's Ephesians chapter 1. In whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth. Is the King James Bible the word of truth? Yes, it is. It must be rightly divided. For it's just as broken as other Bibles. Are the other Bibles the word of truth? They say it differently. And the Bible says that it's the gospel of their salvation. So they're not the gospel of their salvation. They got an imitation salvation. End up in hell, lake of fire. That's horrible. That's the final result of all this stuff, children included. They end up caught up in ecumenicalism. Nothing but a bunch of confusion, superstition, folly, lies. But they enjoy themselves. And the final result of this thing, if they don't die, end up in hell, is they will be led right into this one religion, this Antichrist of the tribulation. And you're going to send your kids right into that whole modern Christianity, miracles, signs, and wonders, and the whole spiel. More results for these folks. Well, they're going to reap the rejection of God's warnings. King James Bible warned us, beware of the philosophy of the world. Beware of this. Beware of that. Take no heed in such and such. He warns us. And these people are rejecting God's warnings. Okay? What's going to happen in life? They're going to reap rejecting God's warnings. In other words, they're going to get caught up in the stuff that he warned you about. And it's not God chastening them. They're just reaping what they sowed. God's storing it up for them at the judgment seat of Christ, and he's storing it up for the lost people for the white throne of judgment, Romans chapter 2. And if you're going to trust in an unknown God, you're just following superstitions. You put your head at night on a pillow. You don't really, really have that hope. You have a hope. You're hoping. That's different than having the hope. Something else. Look at Colossians chapter 3. These are just what I believe to be the results of people that are caught up in this stuff. Colossians chapter 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, well, they're not. So they will not seek those things which are above, for Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. They will set their affection on things below on the earth. They are not dead. Their life is not hid with Christ in God. So they don't even think and consider the things that we think and consider. Try to talk to them. They've never thought about such and such. And they still can't. You can ask them about it. Well, I've never thought about that. Well, I know you have never thought about that. Can you think about it now? Well, no, not really. And they'll change the subject on you. Look at Ephesians 4:17. Ephesians 4:17. The Gentiles, the lost people, walk in the vanity of their mind. These people are walking as other Gentiles because they're still Gentiles. They're not child of God, they're Gentiles. And Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. So these people are walking in the vanity of their mind. Look at Philippians chapter 4. Results. What is their mind going to do for them? Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. They don't have any peace of verse 7 up there. The peace of God which passeth all understanding. They don't have that. And when you try to tell them the peace that you have with what you believe, they don't understand what you're talking about. Verse 8. There's the things we're supposed to think about. Now, remember, these people are good people. They have, some of them have good standards. Some of them try to do right within their home. Some of them try to do the right thing. They're good givers. They're the whole spiel. But their Christian walk is based on their faith, not the faith of Jesus Christ, because their Bible doesn't tell them that there's a faith of Jesus Christ that even exists. But even the King James guys have no clue what that means, the faith of Jesus Christ. Our faith in Christ gets us the faith of Christ. They're living their walk on their own strength, and they seem to be doing a pretty good job, so they're very proud of themselves. I'm sorry. I'm relying on the strength of Jesus Christ and my Bible to keep me going. My flesh is still my flesh. Their own righteousness, Romans chapter 10 warns us about that, tells us about that. And our faith is counted for righteousness to us in Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 10 says, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. They're still trying to follow the law. Their Christian walk is based on their wisdom, their education, books about God, not the book from God, but books about God. These people are ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, and there's a serious increase in knowledge. It's just piling on us, more and more and more. And thank you, computers. By the way, we had a workshop a while ago, whatever they call those things, and we were playing around. They're showing us find places for educational information and that kind of stuff, and so I did, and it was immense. I mean, this source for information was, as they say nowadays, awesome, but, you know, it was amazing. And you can type in anything and you can find something on it. Anything. But I typed in King James Bible. You know what I found? Nothing. I did a search in this whole thing trying to find something on the King James Bible, and it wasn't there. Talk about censorship, backdoor censorship. And don't get this wrong, anybody out there, but most of the stuff that they send you to involved cultural people, not Americans. Not the European, not the Japheth. Ham and Shem were the ones glorified in all that stuff. They're changing the basis of knowledge in that computer. And the King James Bible is not in it. So what are you going to do with your kids? You're going to homeschool them with the computer programs, curriculums and stuff? You know what's not in there? God's not in there. King James Bible's not in there. Are you going to be able to homeschool your kids when you have to do your own curriculum? You're going to have to be certified. If they even allow that. You're going to be certified to teach what they tell you to teach. And they're going to test you to make sure that you're teaching that. And they're going to check you out to make sure you're teaching that. Is that what you want? This is where it's headed. I guarantee it from what I've learned. From what I've read in the schools. The computer teacher a couple of weeks ago, and I've seen this in other schools, they're doing their best to get rid of paper and pencil in the school. Pretty soon we'll have no pencils or papers. And then I read about another school district. That's the national plan, is to get rid of pencils and paper. Get it all on the computer. And they have reestablished the basis of knowledge. It's amazing. How are we doing for time? I'm ignoring it here. How we got here? No solid peace, no understanding, no worldly. They have worldly wisdom. They'll be dense to the Bible, all that comes with it. They have no clue what that Bible says. They'll fall into the Sodom stuff. Look at Ezekiel chapter 16. This modern Christianity is going to just be like Sodom. And we already know that it is, but it's going to get worse and worse and worse. Why is that? Ezekiel 16. Yeah, Sodom and Gomorrah is not in Ezekiel 16. Yes, it is, matter of fact. You get more out of Ezekiel than you get out of Genesis, where it talks about what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. This tells us why it happened. Ezekiel 16. And it wasn't because they're a bunch of queers. Queerism is a result of something in Sodom and Gomorrah. Queerism in America is a result of what's taking place in America. Behold, this, verse 49, chapter 16, verse 49. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Here we go. Pride, and that's modern Christians. Fullness of bread, oh yeah. And abundance of idleness. This is all America, was in her, and in her daughters. Now, neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. Modern Christians, America gives stuff to the poor and the needy. And that, you know, to a point, that's fine because they need it now. But what are we doing in America to strengthen the hand? Nothing. It's a welfare country. What do we do to strengthen the hand of the illegal aliens? Nothing. We just give them the money. We just give them the free baby births. We just give them the free housing. They can commit crimes and not even be arrested. I mean, there are cities in this country where if an illegal alien commits a crime, he cannot be arrested. They're called safe cities. I mean, it's amazing. Verse 50, and they were haughty and committed abomination before me. There we go. That's what's going on in modern Christianity. We got ladies in the pulpits. We got people wearing long hair. The guys, that's against nature. Why do I say that? Because it's still against nature. So is pervert. So is queerism. Sodomites. The gays, as it goes against nature. So does long hair in a man, preacher. Why don't you preach on that one, too? You get into 2 Timothy chapter 2, 15 and 16. That talks about rightly dividing the word of truth. And they're not doing that, so what are they doing? They're listening to vain, profane, and vain babblings. And they're actually increasing into more ungodliness. That's what the Bible says. And then you got people that are getting caught up in the wrong church. Acts chapter 2, going for numbers, which Paul says in Timothy that gain is godliness to these people. So we can go back and get our church to be bigger. That tells me that God is blessing us. Acts chapter 2, the real design of the church in the dispensation of grace is Ephesians chapter 4. And it's all geared to the saint. We are not supposed to be gearing our church to the lost person to get them to come to church. You're kidding. We're not supposed to be soul winners. No, people need to be saved, no doubt. But they're going to want to be saved because of what we have in Christ through Paul's teachings. What do we have to do to get them to come to church? We've got to change our music. You can't be talking about the King James Bible anymore. You've got to drop your dress standards because they feel uncomfortable and they come wearing their bikinis and shorts to church. So see, if you come wearing low tops and the thin tops and the bumps and the little things popping all over the place, the people become more comfortable. Well, why don't you give them a beer? Why don't you put the Super Bowl in the back? Oh, wait, they do that. Why don't you bring in the coffee? Oh, wait, but they do the coffee bar stuff, too. So, and more people are coming to church. But truth is gone. Truth is gone in the church. And the truth is where the truth is. The church is where the truth is supposed to be. Ephesians chapter 4 versus Acts chapter 2. Okay. Well, isn't that just a joyful sermon there? This is the result of what's going on out there. Now, we have a lot of people that are quitting Paul. They're even going to the mid-act stuff, which doesn't preach Timothy and Titus that I've seen much of. Women are in the pulpits. Their music is terrible. Their dress standards are horrible. Why? Because they've got God's grace. And that's true. All things are lawful. There's no doubt. All things are lawful. But it's not expedient. It's not the right thing to do. It causes other people to stumble. It puts a power over them. That was the other thing. Caused people to stumble. Expedient. I cannot remember these things ever. It's Galatians. Let's go to Galatians. No, don't go to Galatians because I have my notes in Galatians. It won't do you any good to go there. Here we go. What are the things here? Expedient, edify, not occasion for flesh, not to cause someone to stumble, the weaker Christian to stumble. All we're doing that stumbling thing is around the weaker Christian. We're still supposed to stand with what's right. I'm supposed to judge the weaker Christian for when they mess up like that. And not to be brought under the power of it. Yeah, so all things are lawful. There's some strings attached. And my thing is people quit the Paul stuff because he's too strict with his standards. But if you go to mid-Acts, you can get away with that stuff. Because all they care about that I've seen is they care about when the church began. Again, the deep doctrinal stuff. A lot of them aren't even King James. Or they just quit and go back to this modern Christianity because at least they're happy now. No more pressure, none of the stuff that we're going through with persecution and the toughness of being a Paul follower. Nobody expects you to change your life in this modern Christianity. I got a bunch of verses on my notes about we get our strength from God's grace. Here's one thing I want you to consider before we wrap it up for the night tonight. Take your Bibles. I hope you have your Bibles. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I've talked about it before. I'll do it again. Now, I believe this chapter 4, verse 1, where it says, "The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times," and I don't believe that means last days, because it doesn't say last days, and it means latter times. Latter times, towards the end of times. Now, I'm 60 years old. I'm in my latter times. I've been with Paul, six years. Some people have been with the Paul stuff longer than I have. Some people shorter. Some people are we getting into our personal latter times because we're tired of it? We've been around long enough now that these seducing spirits can trick us. We've been around long enough now that we're tired of some of the persecution, some of the hassle, some of the difficulties of it. And we've hung in there pretty good. It's been fun. It's been good. We've maintained our stand, but it got tougher, and it's getting tougher, and it's getting really tougher. Are we into our latter times? Are we going to depart from the faith? You can't lose your salvation faith. But are we going to give in and go back to the modern Christianity? Are we going to say the whole thing is a bunch of baloney and quit the whole thing? No, I don't think so. Not the people I've been talking to, I hope. But can we just be seduced away? What's going to seduce us? This modern Christianity. Or the fact that we can be around it and still maintain the Paul stuff. That's the seducing spirit to try to seduce us away from being a Paul person. The devil wants nothing more than to see those of us in this website family who have stuck strong, wants nothing else to see. He can't get our souls, and he can't tweak our flesh because our flesh is still flesh. I believe that we're possessed. The devil has a heyday with our flesh. But what he wants to see us do, he wants to see us depart from the faith visually so somebody can say, "See, I knew you didn't mean it." And that'll happen to us in our latter times. Look at Galatians chapter 6. We're almost done. Look at Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 says in verse 9, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." In due season, we in our latter times are becoming very impatient for this due season. The due season is not until the judgment seat of Christ. Maybe someone or something will come along that will make it, make your Paul living for the risen Savior an easier thing. But I don't get that message from Paul. I enjoyed preaching Paul from a pulpit. I miss a pulpit. I miss having real faces and real people to preach this stuff to and to show them the pages. I miss that. But I'm not going to give it up so I can be a pastor of some church where there's 100 people that love your sermons, they love how you play piano, and they just love you. I don't want that. But I could probably get that somewhere. Well, maybe not with my past, but you know what I mean. The potential is there. I would like to be able to teach these kids, Santa Claus doesn't exist, you guys. Oh, man, the wrath of the parents. Listen, I taught that in a Christian school, and the wrath of the parents came down on us. It's just ridiculous where Christians supposedly say they are. But let's not be weary in well-doing. In due season, we shall reap. Because, see, if we give up, we will reap as well. We can't faint. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Just a couple more. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. The sad thing is these modern Christians don't realize this is what's going to happen to them. I'm getting all this from the scriptures and from observation. They don't get it. They don't see it coming. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13. But ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And this is in the context of somebody that you are around that is not doing what's right. And he says, listen, don't be weary of well-doing when you're around the crowd that's not. He says, have no company with them. How do we stay from being weary sometimes? Get out of the garden. You get tired of pulling weeds? Then go to a garden where there's no weeds or fewer weeds. I guess I shouldn't say you're tired of pulling weeds. You're tired of being the flower in a garden which is full of weeds. Then maybe your garden will come along and transplant you to a better garden. And he will. And lastly, 2 Corinthians 4:16. 2 Corinthians 4:16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. This modern Christianity deals with the outward man. The pastors are trying to get us to understand our old nature and trying to get us to do better. And so people do. For a while. Bible psychology, all this kind of baloney. Their inward man is stuck to the flesh, full of sin. Our inward man, our inward person can be renewed every day, day by day. But our outward man is perishing more and more every day. It's getting older, it's crummier, it's worthlesser, it's worthlesser more. It's perishing. Then he goes on and says, now look at all the stuff that you, I can go through your list of, I know you folks out there, Peter, Michael, Bob, Patience, White Cottons, out on the Rocky Mountain. But we have had some trials. We have had some stuff happen to us. Amen. Yes, as they say in the Baptist churches, amen, amen. And then he says this, for our light affliction, Paul's talking about light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look at the things which are seen, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. The things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Well, that's easy to read. That's hard to do. Let's quit looking at the things that we see, and let's look at the things that we don't see. You know how hard that is? Well, duh. Of course you know how hard that is. We know how hard this is. We need money. We need a job. Ladies, you want to have children. You want to have a husband. Men, you want to have a family. You want to have a wife. You want the right kind of job. You want money to take care of things so you can live the life of Paul. You want a family that goes along with what you're preaching and teaching. You know you're not going to live a perfect, sinless life, but God's got the grace to help you get up the next time you get up. Just renew day by day. Get up again. Let's look at the things which are not seen. Well, we know what that is. We're King James Bible people. We're rightly dividing people. We understand what's not seen. We understand where the stuff is going. We understand what Christ has done for us spiritually. But is it not hard to ignore the stuff that we see? Peter, you're working your feet off at that grocery store. Michael, you've had all that stuff happen to you, and look at your employment difficulties. And Brian. And Bob. Look at the challenges you've had. Patience, the stuff that you're going through. White cottons. Never a couple years ago in that little red van did we think that you would ever move down to Texas teaching. Well, I never thought I'd move to Ohio, go bean wackies, and then move to South Dakota and teach little bitty kids about music. Some of you folks out there still support us financially, and you keep this thing going. I've always wondered about that. When is this website going to fizzle? When am I going to get tired of stuff, not seeing the people, not seeing the results, only hearing about the challenges and the backward fallings? When is our latter times going to finally put us down and we give in to these seducing spirits and quit? Remember in Mark, I wasn't going to bring him up, but I think I will. I don't think I can find it. Mark, try Mark 15. There's a Mark 15, but I don't think that's what it is. There was a young man, when the disciples all forsake Christ. No. And he's arrested, and they all leave him. But there's one guy that shows up. And it never tells us who it is. But after all the big guns have left him, this little guy, this normal average guy, which is what Paul people are, just normal average Bible-believing people that don't get into the church scene so that, we just can't because there's no church out there. We read our Bibles. We dress right. We cover up our bodies. We try not to watch things on the TV and the movies that we shouldn't be seeing. We try to stop. We try to talk right at work. We try to keep our mouths from spitting out the wrong words. No, I can't find this thing. Where's this guy at? Just when he's being arrested, so it has to be around 15, I think. Anyway, there we go. Can't find it. But anyway, this guy doesn't make it either. He runs away, and he leaves his linen cloth behind him. He runs away with nothing. And we know that Romans chapter 11, verse 22, there's going to come a time when people are not interested in the goodness of God. And when the Gentiles are not supporting the goodness of God, Mark 14, 51. There you go. Thank you very much. Mark 14, 51. The live back and forth stuff. Mark, one of these days we're going to have a sermon where we all just type and talk and help you find scriptures and you answer the questions, all this kind of stuff. But anyway, Mark 14, 51 for the website people. And they all forsook him and fled in verse 50. And there followed him a certain young man having a linen cloth cast about his naked body, and the young man laid hold on him, grabbed a hold of the Savior. And he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. He couldn't stay there. We have the risen Savior. We're not in that guy's situation. We have the risen Savior. There is no reason for us to ever quit. There's no reason for us to make a decision that's wrong, other than our flesh. And I'm the first one to say, it's hard. Let me finish this up with this. People that depart from the faith, just a thought here, the alliteration concept of the former pastor. People depart from the faith because of money, because of the music, and because of a man. People depart from the faith because they have this money thing. Will make us do things we ought not do, or we can't handle when we do have to do it. The music will take us away because the power that's in that subliminal music and the subtle seducing spirits that music is, and the power that's in music in people's lives. And then a man, be it a preacher or just another man in our life, that will take us away from this truth. Money, man, and music. That's to begin with letter M. If you think of some others, write me know on the email. Money, man, a man, music. Anything come to mind out there real quick? M, letter M. Anyway. So there's the results of this modern Christianity that come about because they don't follow Paul anymore. And I'll mention this one more time. Our man down in the Philippines, Garlics Dizon, down in Manila, he found out his dad believes that Paul is the man that we're supposed to follow, Paul's gospel. And, you know, there's no major Paul revival going on down there. If a guy just reads his Bible from the beginning to the end, he realizes there's the Old Testament, then there's Jesus on this earth, and then there's the try to get out to the out to the world through the Great Commission. The Jews kill their preacher. Christ goes on to Paul, tells us that's to the Gentiles. We know we're Gentiles, duh. And then it goes on, and that's done. You go into the tribulation books, which is teaching works and salvation and faith and not taking the mark, and then you're done. That's how the Bible is written. You got to be pretty well blinded by flattery by listening to somebody else's teachings to fall away from that. And we're trying to find people that are trying to get a hold of this stuff. We want a man who's the right kind of a man. We want a woman that's the right kind of a woman. Where are they? That's why this website is geared to the scattered Christian. They're out there. But let's find them.